Speech of Moshe, and you really can't learn Parshat Egev if we're not familiar with the background. So let's begin with the background, okay? Are we ready? Sefer Devarim is, of course, different than the other Sefarim in that. There's repetitions in other Sefarim, too, and there's a lot that's new in Devarim. It's different in its very basic.
Just one long Moshe speech.
It's not one long, but it is Moshe speaking. It's not only Moshe speaking, by the way. But it's mostly Moshe speaking. You see it from the introduction, from the very beginning. Of course, the other Sefarim also mentioned things that Moshe said, but that was part of a bigger story with him being one of the characters. Save for Dvarim, at least the beginning of it, and most of it for that matter, are the things that Moshe said to Bnei Yisrael. Okay? Is Moshe speaking in Pasuk Aleph?
No.
He's being spoken about, right?
Yeah.
Where does Moshe's speech begin? Pasuk Beis? Gimel? You guys learned Parshat Dvarim, right? Okay, so. Vav. Which word does the Torah often use in place of quotation marks that the Torah doesn't have? What word does the Torah often use?
Lemor,
right? And the truth is, Lemor means more than just quotation marks, but it often functions that way. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe.
Lemor.
So here, interestingly, we're not dealing with Parshat Dvarim right now, there's a five-pasuk introduction telling you exactly where Moshe was speaking, and the where is given from different perspectives, which I guess are all important, right? Neymar. Moshe's first two words are? Diber elenu v'chorev leymar. The function of that word is that he's
quoting
what Hashem said. We're quoting Moshe, and he was quoting, right? So the first speech of Moshe begins, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Vav. Where does it end? What would you look for? Sorry? Not always. It's not always the parshiot, or not always based that way. For sure, not in Sefer Devarim.
Someone else to talk.
Meaning, there's the moderator always in the Chumash telling us the story, right? Bereishit bara Elokim. It's a story being told. So when we start telling you the story, referring to Moshe as opposed to Moshe speaking. And that was in last week's parsha. Anyone where? Where is the first time, after the beginning of Sefer Devarim, where Sefer Devarim refers to Moshe and clearly he's not speaking? This is last week's parasha, so again, this we should know. Basics. Shnai Mikra Echad Targum means on the basic level knowing the parasha, knowing what it's about, right? If we get into new. Perek Dalet Pasuk Mem Aleph, you can look afterwards and see that there's nothing in between. That's clearly not Moshe speaking, right? Az Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Arim, that we could ask why Tafka here Moshe separating the Arimiklet, or why we're told about it here. But in any case, this is clearly not Moshe speaking. We could say his first speech ended. Evi, right? Evi. So it's not one long speech, right? Because
right.
We're speaking about Moshe. Where does the second speech begin? Sorry?
Here.
Where's here?
Perakeh.
You said Perakeh? That's what I say. Don't be. I didn't hear. What? Could be 100% right. I just didn't hear what you said. What did you say? Come on, don't tell me what you said.
In Akev.
Well, Akev is definitely part of the second speech, but where does it begin?
In
Perakeh Pasuk Aleph. You said Vav, right? But Aleph, Vayikra Moshe El Kol Yisrael, Vayomer Aleihem, Shema Yisrael, Tachukim and the Mishpatim, right? In fact, there's an introduction to this speech too. The introduction begins in Perak Dalet, Pasuk Mem Dalet. Mem Aleph, Mem Bet, and Mem Gimel talks about him separating the Arei Miklat, and then it says, "Vizot haTorah shesam Moshe lefnei v'nei Yisrael." That, of course, becomes a very famous pasuk, right? Eila ha'idot v'achukim v'mishpatim shadiber Moshe v'nei Yisrael. They were ordained. V'yikra Moshe al kol Yisrael v'yomer lehem Shema Yisrael. Perakei Pasuk Aleph begins the second speech of Moshe. Where does it end? We could spend the rest of the time with you searching, and you wouldn't find it,
no.
Because it's towards the end of Sefer Devarim. Not because it doesn't exist, it's just a lot of page turning. Just so we can get our context clear, let's look at Parshat Ki Tavo, Perek Chof Zayin. Starts off, Vayetzav Moshev Ziknei Yisrael Ta'am Le'mor. That's the introduction to a new speech. If you look from Perek Hei through Perek Chof Vav, just 22 Perakim, you will not find any reference to Moshe in third person because he's speaking straight. Now, there are different parts of the speech, and then you can break it down, and da-da-da, but it's basically one long speech. Basically, Sefer Devarim consists of three parts. A short introductory speech, concluding ideas, the end of Sefer Devarim, and the main body, 22 Perakim, Moshe's central speech, which is about what? Definitely right. The mitzvot, particularly relevant to Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvot Hashem told them at Har Sinai to tell the Jewish people when they got to Eretz Yisrael, and that's most of it. Chanan, Ekev, Re'e, Shovtim, Kiteitse, the first part of Kitavo. Everyone with me? This, in and of itself, I think, can be broken into two main sections. There's the Vetchanan, Ekev, the Vetchanan and Ekev sections, and then there's Re'e, Shovtim, and on. And you see it a little bit in the beginning of Parshat Re'eh. Let's take a look. Re'eh Anochi Noten Lifnechem Hayom Bracha Uklala. It's like a new pticha. And one can summarize, again, we haven't done it, the best way is to learn it and then summarize, but okay. That Ve'etchanan and Ekev are speaking about the basic relationship between God and the Jewish people. Mitzvot that are expressive of that. Re'eh and On are speaking more about other kinds of mitzvot. If you could parallel it to Ve'etchanan and Ekev are the first two dibrot. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Lo Yalachem Elohim Acherim Al Panai. Re'eh and On are like parallel to the other dibrot. Okay. We're going to focus on the parts Ve'etchanan and Ekev, mainly Ekev, obviously. But first, let's get ourselves aware of the bigger picture of how the speech breaks down. There are two words that Moshe uses consistently in this first part to introduce each section of the speech. What are the two words? Shema Yisrael. It should be easy to see because you see how he introduces the first part, right? Now, from the fact that he speaks in Perek Hei Pasuk Aleph, the first words beginning Shema Yisrael would not tell you that the other sections are also broken down that way. But where's the second section, which Moshe begins the same way? The second section is a more famous one, and people actually know the two words from there, can make the mistake in thinking that they're uniquely relevant there. Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalet. Now, if we were learning through Ve'etchanan, I could show you how it really begins a new section. I'll mention briefly how it is a new section in a moment, but we're not going to go through it, right? And where's the third section that begins Shema Yisrael? Perek Tet, Pasuk Aleph, you see it? Who plagiarized Moshe in using this kind of term to introduce a speech? Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Familiar?
Yeah, it's Julius Caesar.
Yes, it is. Shakespeare. In any case, Shema Yisrael, very sensible way to begin a speech. Listen, people of Israel, right? Okay, so basically you see from the continued usage of the term, that the first part of the speech, yeah, I fully prove it to you, go through it, which is Ve'etchanan and Ekev, Hey through the end of Yud Aleph, subdivides into these three pieces. Hey, then Vav Zayin Chet, then Tet Yud Aleph. Now what's interesting, by the way, the Prakim are not Jewish, right, but they can give you some sense of content, that the second two sections are about the same length. Vav Zayin Chet, Tet Yud Aleph. The first section is much shorter, because the first section is very different. And again, we're not speaking about that first section today, but what is the first section about? I just said we're not speaking about it in the name of what it's about. But just briefly. The first piece, Perakei basically, what's it about? Something we should be able to answer very quickly, right? Sarata Debrot, why does Moshe repeat the Sarata Debrot? This is a question, until you've learned it, you have absolutely no idea what the answer is. When you learn it, it's very clear. Some people think, well, they got to repeat them again. There are differences, da da da.
It's a different door.
Sorry?
It's a different door.
Why does he, well, you mention everything mentioned in the whole Torah to this new door, right? Moshe tells you the reason. It's amazing how much you can learn from the Torah if you just read it. Again, we try not to do that. For example, we're not going to talk about this, but there's so much discussion about what led the Jewish people to sin in the Chedem Araglim. What were they thinking? So you can give this pshat and that pshat. And then there's the Torah's pshat. Now the Torah's pshat we try not to learn, because we try not to learn the Torah. It keeps us from saying our own ideas. But the Torah writes with Farish and Parshat Devarim what the Jews were thinking. You can look, see. You learned it 2 weeks ago when you were preparing Parshat Devarim, right? You can take a look back there, you'll see it. The Torah writes very clearly in Perakei why Moshe is telling the story of the Aseret HaDibrot, mainly the story of Har Sinai. And the reason why is to tell them the basis of where all the mitzvot come from, particularly why they should be listening to him when he claims that he knows all these mitzvot they've never heard of. And what's the reason why they should listen to him? Because at Har Sinai Hashem spoke to them directly, but they couldn't handle it, and they came up and said, we can't handle it, please you go hear the rest. Not Hashem suggested it, they suggested it. And I went and heard the rest, and this is the rest. So if you remember that story, you should have reason to believe in what I'm telling you. Everyone with me? He writes it all the Pharisees and the Pesukim. You don't have to rely on me. Just if you want, you can read the Pesukim afterwards, yeah? Okay. So then, Perek Vav Pasuk Dalet, he begins section number 2. And as I said, as we saw, Shema Yisrael, Perek Tet, he begins section number 3. Which kind of puts the beginning of Parshat Ekev right in the middle of section number 2, right? Kind of, we're jumping in the middle here, and that's why it's very difficult to see. But let's try and break down this middle section here. Vav, Zayin, and Chet. If we start with Shema Yisrael, right? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha, v'chol levav, v'chol nafsho, v'chol miyodecha. We all know the psukim here. It starts off about listening, following the mitzvot. Look at the end of Parshat Ve'etchanan, Pasuk Aleph, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph. V'shamarta et ha-mitzvah ve'et ha-chokim ve'et ha-mishpatim asher nachim etzavcha yom la'asotam. Very similar to the beginning of Kriyat Shema. On the other hand, the section in Ekev, the end of Zion through the end of Zion and then all the way through the end of Chet, can also be seen as a separate piece. Why? Because we begin Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yudbet. V'haya Ekev tishmunet ha-mishpatim ha'elu u'shmartem v'asitem otam. It talks about all the implications of keeping the mitzvot. And if you look at the end of the parasha, Perek Chet, Pasuk Chav, kagoyim asher ani ma'avid mipnechem, kein tovedun, ekev lo tishmun bekol Hashem Elokechem. Everyone sees the relationship between Perek Chet, Pasuk Chav, and the very beginning of Parshat Ekev? People see what I'm talking about here? It's ekev asher tishmun, and ekev asher lo tishmun. Before any of you saw it, before I saw it, the Rashbam saw it. Let's take a look here. Take a look at page 156. How strange to be learning page 156. What happened to the first 155 pages? And the answer is?
The rest of the
Chumash. The first part of the Chumash, right? Okay. Page 156, Rashbam, Ekev Lo Tishmun, Zehu Siyum Kol HaParasha. Now it doesn't mean all of Parashat Ekev, right? It's in the middle of Parashat Ekev, but it means this whole unit. Tchilat HaParasha Ve'ya Ekev Tishmun Tinchalu Et Ha'aret Ve'ekev Lo Tishmun Tavdun Mimeno. So on the one hand, the end of Etchanan stands on its own. The beginning of Ekev stands on its own. But on the other hand, there's a very clear relationship between the beginning of Ekev and the end of Etchanan. Or in other words, there's a very clear relationship between the end of Perek Zayin and the beginning of Perek Zayin. Because the Rashbam is talking about the relationship between Chet and the part of Zayin in Ekev. I want to talk about now within Perek Zayin. Without cheating, unless you've already cheated. Can anyone see any relationships between the end of Perek Zayin, which is in Parshat Ekev, and the beginning of Perek Zayin, which is in Ve'etchanan? Everyone understands the question I'm asking? Because you can't have an answer if you don't understand the question. I mean, you could have an answer, but it wouldn't be an answer to this question. Did you guys listen to the Avera song? Oh! Not yet. It's not a satisfactory answer. If you had, I would explain to you more about introductions, all kinds of things, but okay. I don't know.
I didn't get
the Averis song. Yes, yes, yes. So we could spend a lot of time, people searching and whatever, but maybe since we want to cover more, I don't like doing it this way because it sounds like it's being dictated. But let's take a look at the sheet, page 156. Perek Zayin begins by speaking about when you arrive at the land of Israel, the land you're coming to, Yoresh, and you're facing these very strong goyim. That's how the Perek ends also if you look at the bottom. And I've underlined the word, so that's a little helpful, right? The second piece talks about how Hashem will help you utterly destroy them, and you're mechuyev to utterly destroy the goyim. Why? So you don't come to serve Avodah Zarah. Underlined. Tukim Bet and Gimel. It's chiastic structure. If you look at the piece right before the end, it also speaks about how you should devour the nations around you, show no mercy so that you don't come to Avodah Zarah. The third section speaks about how God has chosen you from all the nations. Third section is from the end. Similar. Fourth section is about the Ava that Hashem has for you by keeping the Shvua that He made to your ancestors. He being Shomer HaBrit VaChesed. Shomer HaBrit VaChesed. When we talk about God being Shomer these things, what we mean is Him being, strange term, Him being trustworthy. Right? He keeps to His promise. Interesting, in our tefillot, we talk about God being trustworthy in two places. Anyone? If I told you the Hebrew word, it would help. What? V'ne'aman atah l'achiyot metim. Very good, right? Trustworthy.
Kel melech
ne'aman
for
Shema. Kel melech ne'aman is, right, is and isn't. You with me?
Yeah.
Right, is and isn't. Where's the other place that we always say? In Modani. What do we say? Rabbah emunatecha. I think the link is very important. What is the basis in our own lives for believing in God as one who is mechayem mitim? V'ne'aman atah l'achiyot mitim, v'ruach atah Hashem mechayem mitim. What is the basis in our own lives for the concept of tchiyat mitim? Waking up every morning. Waking up every morning should give us the reason to believe that God can wake up people who were once alive but now are dead. Let's get back to it. Why here are we using the term shmirah? To refer to God, He's being Shomer Abrit VeChesed. He's Shomer the Shvuah that He made to the ancestors, right? I think the reason why is to connect that Shmirat Hashem to our Shmirah, which is right in the middle and makes sense. Parshat Vetchanan ends, and Parshat Ekev begins with a very similar idea. If you look back at the end of Vetchanan, it says, Vishamarta et haMitzvah v'techukim et haMishpatim asher anochi mitzavcha hayom la'asotam. V'haya Ekev tishmeun. All the things that were described beforehand will continue happening. The progression is we move from the goyim, the intimidating strong goyim you face, that you're going to be able to deal with Hashem's help, as a reflection of God's love for you and reliability and continuation with the shvuah He made to the ancestors. And all that revolves around the center, which is God is shomer you if you're shomer your relationship with Him. Right? He's shomer you. Everyone understands the point of it? Because it's interesting to see how it relates to the first part, which is the end of Vayetchanan. Let's now focus on Parshat Ekev itself. We saw that the end of Zayin and Chet are one piece. Haya Ekev Tishmun, Ekev Lo Tishmun. But Zayin and Chet have two very different topics. Everyone's been working on the Parsha, right? They know the topic. What's the difference between the topic of Zayin and the topic of Chet? What is Zayin about and what's Chet about? We just spoke about Zion, particularly the end of Zion. You're going to get to the land of Israel. You're going to see all these tough nations, right? You'll be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. Okay? Everyone sees that? Okay. What's Parak Chet about?
Kind of, I think the
summary of history.
I'm sorry?
The summary of what's...
It does speak about history. A lot of Dvarim speaks about history. The summary of the historical points it mentions are to bring home what point? You know, what's the point?
That
or in Hebrew, the poenta. What's it in Spanish? What? I'm sorry?
God, Hashem didn't leave us.
That, all of Sefer Dvarim, frankly. And what's the point particularly here? Meaning, Perek Zayin is also that Hashem doesn't leave us, right?
That
but
Hashem
it's particularly regarding
you.
How Hashem will help us fight the Goyim. What?
That Hashem is the one who brought you here.
And what's the point? That's correct. That's correct. And it's to the point of the danger of, what are we afraid of? We're afraid that people are going to have a lot of plenty. And their heart will become high. V'ram livavecha. And they'll forget that it's Hashem who's responsible for all their success. Now that sounds very different than Perek Zayin. Perek Zayin is about fighting tough enemies. Chet is about the success we have. By the way, this point of the danger of success... We may remember from earlier in this very speech, from section 1. Anyone remembers the danger of success mentioned in last week's parsha? I'm saying it nicely because I assume last week you knew it, and you remember, you took it down. Now it's just whether you remember it, right? Let's take a look back. Perek Vav Zayin. Perek Vav. Perek Vav Pasuk Yud. You ready? Ve'yaki v'yacha Hashem Elokecha la'aret shenishba la'avatecha la'avram li'yitzhak li'yakov la'telach arim gedolot v'tovot asher lo banita uvatim leim kol tov asher lo mileta uvarot chatzavim asher lo chatzavta kramim v'zeitim asher lo natata v'yachalta v'savata hi shamer lecha pen tishkach l'Hashem asher hotzi'echa me'eretz Mitzrayim b'yad avadim et Hashem lekachta v'tov tov mishra lo techno yadim acharim blah blah blah. Right? Now let's read Perek Chet Pasuk Zayin. כי השם אלוקיך מביא אחד ארץ צבא, ארץ נחלי מים, עיינות ותומות יוצאים בבקע ובהר, ארץ חיטה ושר, ארץ שלום ומסכנות אכל בלחם. פסק י' ויאכלת וסבלת וברכת את השם אלוקיך על ארץ צבא שנתן לך. הישמר לך. פן תשכח את השם אלוקיך לבריא תשמור מצוותיו ומשותיו 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 היום. פן תאכל ובסבת ובתים טובים תבנה וישבת ובקרחה וצונחה ירביון וכסף זהב ירבה לכל אשר בלעה ורם לבביך ושכחת את השם אלוקיך ומוציא לך. Is it the same thing? Well, thankfully we have the handy-dandy sheet, right? Page 157. You have your Perek Vav and you have your Perek Chet. Looks very similar. What's the difference?
So one is things that were already existing in the land before you came, and one is things that you had actually...
100%! Look at this. We got some serious reinforcement here in the Beit Midrash, no? There we go. Everyone understands what Devorah said? Perek Vav is talking about when you find all these things and it stresses, things you didn't develop, right? You find all these things, you say, hey, we don't need God anymore. The other one is talking about things you yourself developed. Why is that more dangerous?
Because when you're creating something, it's very easy to say, I'm the one creating this.
Mm-hmm. Let's focus in particularly on what midah we're in danger of developing.
I think the two notions are kind of contradictory.
The contradictory.
Because in Perek Vav they say you didn't do it, therefore you should think.
They're both kinds. There are a lot of things we'll find that we didn't develop.
No, but the point is you didn't do it, so you should forget God. But then
it's a bigger chidush in Perek Chet. Even when you did do it, there's what to remember, and that's exactly what we're going to get to in a second. Let me finish developing the point. But what particular midah that Evie was talking about could you develop because of things you did do? Gava. What are the words here? Pasuk Yudalet. V'ram levavecha. V'ram levavecha v'shachachta et Hashem Elokecha. That's a dangerous thing. The Gemara in Sota, Dav Dalet Amid Bet, Rav Shem Bar Yochai says, anyone who has gasut aruch, it's as if he's oveid avodat kochavim. What avodah zarah are you being oveid when you have gasut aruch?
Yourself.
Maybe the worst kind of avodah. Rabbi Yochanan said on his own, after he quoted Shem Yochai, it's like your kofer b'ikar, she'ne'amar, v'ram levavecha v'shachachta Hashem Elokecha. Boom. Meaning, v'ram levavecha implies shechav Hashem Elokecha. Smag, one of the people, Rishonim, who wrote a Sefer HaMitzvot. Sefer HaMitzvot Gadol, the Sami Kutzi, right? Moshe Mikutzi. Any case, he wrote his Sefer HaMitzvot, and he writes in the introduction, he went to sleep after finishing his Sefer, and he was all relaxed and calm and satisfied, right? And he had a terrible dream that he forgot one of the mitzvot. He finished his book, he forgot one of the mitzvot. And which one was it? This one. He shamer lecha pen tishkach et Hashem Elokecha. Lav ze ne'mar elai b'mar'eh. This lav was told to me in a vision. The kotvo. V'yisadativ azara l'gasei haruach achach mitzativ v'misechet zotah, etc. The Ran, in his drashot, makes a very important point that's exactly along the line of Aviyah, right? That's your first name? That Aviyah said a few minutes ago. The Torah here is afraid that you're going to get high-hearted, you're going to forget Hashem, right? The one who provided for you, and his providing for you is meant to show you that he's the one behind the scenes even when you don't see it clearly. And what are we afraid of? Pasuk Yitzayin. V'amarta bilvavecha, kochi v'otzem yadi asali et achayel hazeh. What are you going to think? That my strength did this. Okay, so what's the moral, what's the lesson? I would say, it's not my strength that did it. Is that what the Torah says?
That God gives you the strength.
V'zachart et Hashem Elokecha, ki hu anoten lecha koach lasot chayel. Does that mean you don't have strength? Person who tries to tell himself to combat his gaiva, I'm a loser, I can't do anything. That's not true. You can't lie to yourself. You could lie to yourself, but it doesn't last very long, right? The Torah doesn't say, tell yourself you're unable. What does the Torah say? Remind yourself that.
Hashem gave you.
Gave or gives? It's clear from my tone. What does the Torah say? Forget what I think. Natain. What does Natain mean?
Gives.
What does it mean? He gave me when I was born, no? He renews every day, right? You can have great abilities, but if you don't have the strength, you can't accomplish it, right? You could be sick. Hashem enables us to do the things we're able to do. That's the point that Ron makes, which is very important. Meaning, Aviyah, it's not that we didn't do it. We did do it. We definitely did it. And that danger is thinking that we're independent and not dependent on Hashem. Even the things we do, we're dependent on Hashem as well. So I think this is a very important relationship between... Oh, so this is the relationship between Chet and Vav. But we didn't answer our question. It's just now we've completed the question. Zayin is about the danger of, you know, being afraid of the Goyim. And Chet is about a totally different point of, you know, being high-hearted. What have to do with each other? Why are they next to each other? Why are they in the same piece? You understand my question?
When you fight the guy and then you'll be victorious and you'll then that's what...
Saying A leads to B. Stage A, stage B. We could say such a thing. But you know which explanation I prefer? The Torah's. Let's look at what the Torah itself says about these two pieces and what link there is in the words itself. Pshat, a lot of people make the mistake in thinking that drash is when you learn chazal. Pshat is when you say whatever's in your stomach. Pshat is based on reading the words carefully. Or should be based on reading the words carefully. What similar themes does the Torah present in the end of Zayin and in Chet? Even though it's talking about different things. I'm sorry? Ish asher lo mechaven? Hishamer lechapen is definitely here, but that's in many places. You have to be careful. We have to be careful again, because there's a lot of terms that appear throughout the Sefer. Do the mitzvot, etc. The Torah does a similar thing. Aviyah mentioned it before. The Torah does a similar thing here to get you to deal with both of these dangers. Not to be afraid of the goyim, not to become a Baal Gaiva. The solution to both is... Well, that would be the expression of the realization. But what's the basis for not being afraid and for not being high-hearted? Remembering certain things in the past. What are the things in the past that are meant to combat? Why shouldn't you be afraid of the goyim? Right, pasuk yutet. Let's take a look inside. Yutchet starting. Lo tira mehem. Zachor tiskarat asher asa Hashem Elokecha lefarao lechol Mitzrayim masad gadol asher roeinecha hatot vamotim vayadach hazaka vazron atu asher tzicha Hashem Elokecha ken yaseh Hashem Elokecha lechol ha'amim asher ata yireh mipnehem. And how about the high-heartedness? Pasuk bet. V'zacharta et kol haderech. Asher olicha Hashem Elokecha zeh 40 shana b'midbar. L'manu noscha nasoscha l'dat asher levav v'tashma v'tzav. V'yalcha v'vachat v'chot v'manu judat v'gom v'vachat v'vachat v'vachat. Ki lo alechem d'ver yuchayah adam. Ki al kol motzepi Hashem. We think we live by bread. No, we live by the motzepi Hashem. We think it's our koach alone. Hu anaten lecha koach lasot chayil, right? So, the basis of the message of both these things is belief in God, based upon the history of what you saw, belief in God as Savior, as tough man, strong man, right? And belief of God in God as provider. One is based on what he did to the Mitzrayim, the other is based on what he did afterwards, the sustaining of Am Yisrael in the Midbar. Everyone with me? Okay, questions about this? Are you ready to move on? You have a question. Yes.
I know they apply more when they go into the Eretz, but on what level do they apply when they're in the Midbar?
When they were in the Midbar.
Yeah.
Well, when they were in the Midbar, for example, God as sustainer was clear.
Because
they were getting man min hashamayim. So that's why the fighting with nations is more relevant than Eretz Israel, because they didn't fight in the Midbar for most of the time.
So were there in the Midbar?
I don't know. We only know what we know from the first years, right? It could be there were things, but we're not told because they don't have importance l'dorot. We're not told every word Moshe ever said in his whole life, right? Okay, so now we move on to section 3. Remember the third Shema Yisrael, right? Everyone with me? The third Shema Yisrael. And this Shema Yisrael is different than the first two. Because it's a historical speech. Not just it mentions things from the history, it's a historical speech, kind of like the first four prakim of Sefer Devarim. And it has three parts. It begins with the message. The first four program ended with the message. Moshe begins with his message. Then he goes back and talks about the past events that are the basis for the message. And then he comes back around and talks about what the implications of the message should be for how they should live in the future, in the present and future. Where does part two begin? Part one obviously begins. Part one obviously begins in the beginning, right? Okay, but where does part two begin? Where does he move from the message to the history? It's pretty clear and simple, so. Perek Tet Pasuk Zayin. Everyone take a look. From that pasuk and on, he starts speaking about all the things, and not all the things, but the things he feels are relevant in the history, and we'll soon see what they are. Where does he move to part three, where he talks about...
What? Before?
Before? Where before? Which pasuk? Oh, we're in Perek Tet. So I said he starts history in Zayin. Okay. So where does he move from the history to the implications for the future? There's a word that Moshe uses, which is very often used to be that kind of transition from past to present and future. Viata. Perek Yud Pasuk Yud Bet. It's also used in the beginning of Perek Dalet for in the transition in that speech. Viata Yisrael. What all this means for the future. Everyone with me? By the way, if you look at the very end of the Perek, Perek Yud Aleph, the last psukim, Ki im shamor tishmurun pasukav bet. It kol mitzvah azot, asher nochim mitzvet chem lasota li ahava, at Hashem alokech alach b'chod urachav l'davka bo, v'orish Hashem et agoyim ha'il mevnechem da-da-da. That goes back to the beginning of Perek Tet. So it wraps around, the third section is wrapped around, the book ends, the beginning and the end, which comes back to the beginning. People are with me? Am I going too fast? Okay. So let's now go piece by piece. What's the message that Moshe wants to bring to them in Perek Tet? אתה לוקח את זה? לקח את זה עם התפילין, לפחות. שתביח משהו. מה? בדיוק. את שלי תשאיר, בסדר? אוקיי, אה? What's his message? Oh, you may be the ones capturing, but it's not because you're great. What's Moshe afraid of? Kind of like modern day Israel. A lot of Jews think, here we came back to Israel, we founded a state, it's because we're wonderful and the tshuva is done and everything's fine. So what did God have to do to us because we made that mistake in modern life? What? I didn't hear, could be right, I just didn't hear what you said, what? I can hear. Milchemet Yom Kippur. I think that's true. And that's an example of a broader thing, which is God makes our lives miserable to show us that things aren't right. Because when they are right, we make the mistake of thinking that everything's good with us. Let's read it. As we just saw in the parak before. Arim gedolot uvitzorot b'shamayim. Am gadol v'ram b'nei anakim asher atah yadat v'atah shumat amiyitz etzev lefnei b'nei anak. V'yadat ha'ayom ki Hashem alokecha hu ovel lefenecha yishu chalahu yishmeinim hu yechmeinim v'sinef shudam v'tam v'nei anakim z'belach. אל תאמר בלבבך בעדוף השם לוקח אותם מלפניך לאמור, בצדקתי הביאני השם לרשת את הארץ הזאת ובישת הגויים אלה השם ושם פניך. לא בצדקתך ויושר לבבך הטבה לרשת את ארצם. כי ורשעת הגויים אלה השם לוקח מורישם מפניך. ולמען הקים את הדבר שנשבע השם לאבותיך לאברהם ליצחק וליעקב. וידעת כי לא בצדקתך השם לוקח ונותן לך את הארץ הזאת טובה הזאת לבשתה כי ים קשה עורף אתה. Now of course, the message is, as we'll soon see, make sure to better yourselves in the coming years, because you're not going to stay there if you are going to continue to be bad like the people he's taken out in front of you, right? Now the middle part's going to be proving to them that
they're bad.
Right? The history of the Midbar is to talk about how bad they are. He's not trying to say you're bad people. They're good too, but they do bad things. Jews are wonderful people. They do bad things. They're doing bad things. They have to make sure to do good things. Yes, Aviyah, what do you want to say?
It's not only talking about physical.
Not talking at all about physical things.
Yeah.
It's talking about spiritual merit. So let's see what he quotes. Zechor. Al tishkach et asher hektzavta et Hashem lokecha b'midbar. The way you angered God. L'min hayom asher yetzatem eretz Mitzrayim. Ad bochem ad hamakom hazeh mamrim hayitem im Hashem. From the day you left Egypt until today you've been rebelling. Which story is he going to focus on here? What? I can hear.
The golden calf. Correct.
Uvechorev. Hiksaftim at Hashem Elokecha v'yitanaf Hashem b'chem lashmin etchem. He wants to show how bad it's been, right? And he tells the whole story of the Egel. The whole story of the Egel. Through Pasuk Chaf Aleph. And then he mentions Pasuk Chaf Bet. Uvetaveira. Uvemasa. Uvekivrot atava. Maktsifem yitem et Hashem. Uveshlach Hashem etchem yikadesh barnea. The Meraglim. Neymar alu reshuot ha'aret shenetati lechem v'tamru et pi Hashem lokech v'lo emantem lo v'lo shematem b'kolo. Even though he mentioned the Meraglim and Perek Aleph in a different context, he mentions them here in this context. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Mamre mi'itim Hashem yom da'ati etchem. You see how Chaf Aleph wraps back around? Very often bookends are used. Interestingly, Chafei and on, Moshe now speaks about his tefillos at the Egel. Why isn't that mentioned right up to, next to the Egel?
He also
says that you are on. That's just briefly mentions, right? Vazi Yudchet you're talking about. Vazi Yudchet it starts. Okay. So there and here he talks about how I fell before Hashem and I davened. Meaning there was a need for me to daven. But interestingly, my tefillah was mitkabel for what reason? I davened on your behalf. And Hashem forgave you, or my tefillah was mitkabel, he didn't destroy you because... Getting
what?
Because
I was afraid you would be destroyed.
What were the reasons Moshe used that God shouldn't kill them?
So it's called Avo.
Zchut Avot. The Chil Hashem to the Goyim. What's not the reason? Because the Jews don't deserve to be destroyed. You deserve to be destroyed. You were saved on loopholes, technicalities. And there were implications. First of all, you get the Luchot, you got a new Luchot, but Aaron died. And the juxtaposition is clear, even though it happened much later. The Leviim are chosen, as opposed to the Bechorahs, right? Meaning, you got out, but not unscathed. And therefore, let's turn now to the last part. Pasuk Yudbet. V'yata Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Neimach. Ki im liyirat Hashem Elokecha lalecha b'chol derchav ula'ava oto v'la'avod at Hashem Elokecha v'chol avavcha v'chol nafshecha. L'shmor et mitzvot Hashem et chukotov v'sher anochim yitzavcha ayom l'tov lach. It's interesting, he starts off, what does Hashem ask from you? And then he gives a whole list, right? That's such a simple thing. Fear God, follow all His ways, love Him, serve Him, keep all the mitzvot. It's like a father saying, what do I ask of you? Just to clean up your room? I think the explanation is that what He asks of you is to be committed. It's really one root. To be committed. And now Moshe speaks about the basis for Ahavat Hashem. Hein l'Hashem Elokecha, Hashamayim u'shamei Hashamayim, Haaretz chol sheba. Rak b'avotecha chachak Hashem le'ava otam, ve'yivchar b'zaram achareyem b'chem, mikol amim b'yom hazeh. Malta metarlat levavchem, ve'orpechem le'takshu od. He's repairing you. Ki Hashem Elokechem hu Elokei Elokim, Adonai Adonim, Hakel, Agadol, Hagibor, v'hanora, asher lo yisa avanim, v'lo yikach shochad, etc. What's the point Hashem Moshe is making here in these psukim?
He's giving a real explanation why he didn't destroy them then.
Well, it's after the Ve'ata Yisrael. It's after the Ve'ata Yisrael, what Hashem wants from you, right? I think all these sections here are the basis of why the Jewish people should love God. First he says, God has chosen you, right? Pasuk Tet Vav. Pasuk Yud Dalet. God has the whole world. But He desires, loves you, chooses you. You should appreciate that. Okay. Yud Zayin, what's he saying now? Excuse me?
He's great.
What does great mean here?
Like
fair. He cares for people, those who are weak.
I think as a donor people that alive, more of a awesomeness and maybe.
Well, it does mention awesomeness in Pasuk Yud Zayin, but it immediately translates it into Pasuk Yud Chet, Osem Mishpat Yotom V'Almanava, Ohev Ger L'Tot L'Lecho V'Simla, right? So yeah.
And the lie is it's not.
I agree, but I'm showing you what it says.
Right.
So I guess the Noraot also means how he manages to take care of everyone's needs. I guess so, right? Because kacha utzag. Very often we start with our preconceived notions about what a word means, and then we ask kashas in the Torah. The reverse could be to know what the word means based on the Torah.
Well, it might just say different stuff about it.
Okay, so maybe it's... But definitely it's translated that way. Patzchof, what's he saying now? He built you into a nation, right? You went with 70 people, built you into a whole nation, right? Beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, you yourself experienced it. V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, that's the refrain. Love him, do his mitzvot. V'yadatam hayom ki lo et b'nechem asher lo yadu v'asher lo ru et musar Hashem Elokechem et gadlo v'adiyot Hashem Elokechem et v'yah. It's not your children who didn't see it. Everything that he did and accomplished. And talks about all the things that he accomplished. Pasuk Zayin. Ki enechem haro'ot et kol ma'aseh Hashem ha'gadol asher asah. You saw it. These are the reasons why you should love Hashem, why you should be committed to Hashem. The very end of Perek Yud Aleph now, starting in Pasuk Chet, he speaks about now the implications. Let's start with Chet. Ushamartem et kol mitzvah Hashem anochi mitzavcha hayom leman techezku uvatem v'yirishtem et haret asher atem ofrim sham l'rishta uleman tarichu yamim al adama asher nishba Hashem la'avotechem latet lehem ulezara meretz avat chalav udvash. What are the implications of keeping mitzvot? Keeping mitzvot is important in order to
get the land.
Is that it? And live a long life. How do you know there's two different goals? It says so. What word does it use to stress the two goals? To introduce them? Ushemaritim et kol mitzvah asher anochi mitzav chayom. One. Leman techesku uvatim v'yirushim etarat Hashem etam from the mishta. Two, uleman tarichu yemim al adam Hashem nishba Hashem. Right, and there are two stages. Right, how does the rest of Perek Yud Aleph relate to these two goals? Which goal does the Torah speak about first? Arichut yemim or yirushat haaretz? Second option. Very often the Torah talks about the second one first, chiastically. A, B, B, A. How is keeping mitzvot important for Arichut Yamim? Because if you want to have what, it depends on keeping mitzvot. What is that what? Loman tarichu yamim al adama asher nishba Hashem la'avotechem. What do you need in order to have Arichut Yamim on the adama asher Hashem, etc.? What do you need from Hashem? We are dependent upon God's rain. Ki pasuk yud haaretz asher atav Hashem l'rishta aloch eretz mitzrayim hi asher yetzata misham asher tizrat aracha v'shikita v'raglecha g'gan yarak v'ad Hashem rim shal l'rishta eretz harim v'kaot l'mtar Hashemayim t'shtamayim eretz asher Hashem l'kech d'oresh otat tamim v'nei Hashem l'kech marav shita Hashem. Why are God's eyes on it all the time? Because he's got to give rain to it. These psikim are the backdrop for the famous second parasha of Kriyat Shema that begins in pasuk yud gimel and says that if you keep the mitzvot then you'll have rain, and if you won't, you won't. Then the summary of it is, Paschav Aleph, Leman Yehu Yimechem V'Yimei V'Nechem Ala Adama Asher Nishba Hashem La'Avotechem L'Tet Lem Kimei Hashemayim Ala Aretz. This Leman Yehu Yimechem V'Yimei V'Nechem is a pirut of Leman Tarichu Yamim. You need rain. And Chof Bet with the end is talking about Kim Shamot Yishmun Et Kol HaMitzvah Azot Hashem Nechim Yitzavchem Otam La'asota Li'avah Hashem Lokech Nadav Chodrov Lodav Kabo V'horish Hashem Et HaGoyim Ha'ilim Ibnechem V'yirish Tam Goyim G'dolim Ba'atzumim Mikem. What's this talking about? Yerushat Aret Leman Techezgu Pasekhet Uvatem V'yirishtem Et Aret Asher Avdem V'yirishtem Et Aret Asher Avdem. Right? Who's got the idea? We read the central part of this piece. And of course, this piece, which concludes the first part of the speech of Moshe, Perek Hey through Perek Yud Aleph, really bookends with the first parsha of Kriyat Shema, which introduces the second section of the first part of the speech, The first one isn't part of the summary because it's just the story of Har Sinai, right? The keep the mitzvot, love Hashem, follow His ways. We begin in Perek Vav Pasuk Dalet, and it goes all the way to the end of Parshat Ekev. You with me? What we do when we read the two parshas of Kriyat Shema is we read the beginning and the end. The Chiddush in the second parsha, as opposed to the first parsha, it's double the size. It begins and ends in a very similar way, but of course the Chiddush of the second parsha of Kriyat Shema here, as opposed to the beginning of the second section, is yes, the Sachar Onesh, through rain. The first parsha just says, love God, do His mitzvot. The second parsha says, love God, do His mitzvot, and you'll have rain, and you'll be able to have crops. If you don't, you won't, and therefore, love God and keep His mitzvot. It's like, inserted in between. What I intended to speak about, if we had enough time, we don't have enough time, but you have the sheets and you can look at yourself, is the other difference between the second parsha and the first parsha of Kriyat Shema that I believe is intrinsically connected to the first difference. And that is, the first parsha of Kriyat Shema is written b'lashon yachid. If you take a look here, you have handy-dandy sheets. Now, the thoughtful eye... I didn't give out the other sheet. Maybe I should. Even though we're not learning it, we're going to give out the other sheet. Everyone should take two. We had this confusion yesterday. Everyone should take two. Everyone should take two. And then pass them on. You have on the right side here the first parsha of Kriyat Shema. On the left side, the second parasha of Kriyat Shema. The underlines are the similarities. The bold added on the left side in the middle of the second parasha is how it's different, right? The other difference between the second parasha and the first parasha, besides the addition of Sachar Va'onesh, is that the second one is written by Lashon Rabim. Not V'yahavta b'chol levavcho v'chol nafshecha, but Tishme'u b'chol levavchem u'v'chol nafshechem. And I don't think that's coincidental. Because when we talk about Sachar Va'onesh in our world, we talk about it as a tzibur, not as yechidim. In our world, people are connected to each other. People can't get their due as yechidim because what happens to one person affects everybody else. The sachar v'onesh in this world is given to the rabbim, the fate of Am Yisrael as a nation. In what world do people get rewarded and punished as individuals? The world of souls. And that's basically the answer to a bigger, broader issue, which is whether there's sachar in this world, which is a very controversial issue throughout Chazal, Elisha ben Avuya, etc. And it also has a very important lesson, I think, to us, which is the lesson I was going to speak about over the next seven pages, which is that our identity and mindset in this world should be as part of a group and not as individuals. We are individuals. We are all individuals, right? And we need to be individuals. But we also need to realize that a big part of our fulfillment in this world is as part of a tzibur.
But then when different things happen in your life, you understand in the context of where you are in your relationship with God.
Both are important. But a big, important, additional important part of it is being connected and caring about the world. Am Yisrael, the world. It's not a stira. The two are both important. For those who have not been to Moshavah before, there's lunch now. They have a buffet set up on the porch. You can make sandwiches. And then after lunch is Eidah Hay. And then after Eidah Hay at 2 o'clock, we'll meet back here for Torah Nut to clean up the Beit Midrash. Everyone please come, because there's a lot to do and we need everyone's help.